Thank you for the readings. I am so enjoying these scripture-soaked times together. And I hope that as we take this in and think about this season, this Advent, this already not yet, the baby is born, the king is coming, time that we are in right now, that we can have hope, hope in this world. Now, I was thinking this week, have you ever restored something? A table or a car or really anything, some clothing. There's something very satisfying in taking something that was once beautiful, but maybe time has taken its toll, and then making it look new again. Even something as simple as shining shoes. It feels good, doesn't it? To make something look new again. Painting a house, or even gardening, or taking care of land, getting brambles out. It's satisfying. I think that in our image of godness that we have, that restoration is part of that image. There's something very, very satisfying and proper and right. Now, restoration is, in one way, making something right again, right? If you have this, you know, beautiful table, you know, Sherry and I often once in a while think about, you know, maybe sometime we should, you know, sand down this kitchen dinner table of ours, and, you know, because it's showing its age, you know, it's showing life is what it is, you know, kids and, you know, gouges and scratches and all those things, and there's a story to tell there. But you think about, well, it'd be nice to sand it all down and make it right again, because as it looks there, it's not right. Undoing a wrong is another way you could look at restoration. Sometimes there are things done, maybe even intentionally, that are just wrong, damaging, graffiti, you know, or any kind of vandalism. And so you see those things, you go, that's not right. I'm going to restore those things to remember the original beauty that something had and make it shine again. It's wonderful. You know, and some things we want to restore more than other things, right? I would much rather see a restored 1957 Chevy than a, you know, 80s K car. Yeah, maybe someday the K car will be wonderful. I hope not. But it could, right? But we like to restore things. And sometimes even restoring, we make distinctions on usefulness. I remember I went to a big tractor show up in northern Minnesota. And they had all these restored old tractors. I mean, steam tractors, big, huge metal wheels, you know, and some of these old John Deeres. And there was a whole bunch that looked beautiful. They were newly painted. And talking to the guy about it, he said, yeah, you know, I just meticulously painted everything, made it all right. But they don't work. They don't run. So they're beautiful and they look great. But there was part of me like, oh, be nice if you could like get it out and drive around or something like that. And in fact, in that same place, there were some guys who had similar tractors, but the guy says, yeah, I actually, you know, use this to plow. And it was wonderful. And restoring something back to what it was supposed to be, to be used as it was meant to be used. Our readings today are full of restorative language. And in this time of Advent, as we try to hear that double ring of Jesus coming, he came, he's coming. He was born a baby. He's coming a king. That already not yet, in this place we live in between there, and that tension that is there, we have seen the theme of peace that comes out of that. We see the promise of hope, that as we live in that tension, that place of longing, that there's hope, I mean real hope, solid hope, real hope. And then we see all this language of restoration, and I found it fascinating to consider that aspect of Advent, that as we look to what the baby represented and Jesus' life represented on earth, the kingdom of God has come and is coming, there's a restorative act that comes in here. We saw it. In fact, I was struck this morning as we sang Joy to the World. Did you take note of verse 2? I had not thought about it in this way before. Or maybe it was verse 3. Yeah, verse 3. Think about this. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. That's restoration. You know, we think of, you know, making, going to heaven and our bodies are new, but in that second coming, all will be made anew. He's going to restore all those brambles and thorns that
you struggle with and you know, going hunting and they're grabbing you and trying to get through there, yeah, that's going to be taken care of. We're going to see it as God meant it to be. That's a wonderful thing.
Now, if we look at these restorative language in our scriptures today, as we saw in Isaiah, that great, great prophet that we look to so much in seeing the coming of Jesus. In the reading today, in Isaiah 35, he spoke of the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. Why is it going to be glad? The desert shall rejoice and blossom. You know, in the context of here, I mean, these folks lived in a dry, dry place. Water was precious, life-giving, and sometimes rare. And so there's this picture then of when God makes things new, as he comes to restore, there's going to be a blossoming, abundant blossoming. Joy comes from that. The glory of God, the majesty of God, the strength in his weakness, firm, feeble knees. And here we see the restoration language. Strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Anyone feeling feeble knees sometimes? I am. For those who have an anxious heart, be strong and fear not. There's a restoration of mind. You know, often I think about when I think of heaven or, you know, when Christ comes back and renewed and I think of my new body. You know, I think, okay, my knees aren't going to hurt anymore. Yeah, I won't wake up with that darn shoulder bugging me like it always does. And, you know, sometimes it takes me, you know, 25 minutes just to get my back straightened up and loose again so I can get going. And that's a great thing. But, boy, sometimes this week, especially, I really thought of this idea of the restoration, renewing of our minds. How wonderful it's going to be to not struggle with the sins that torment us. To be able to walk about and not covet or not lust after things that I shouldn't or any of those kind of things. To not have images that got put in my head that I don't want there to be gone and I don't have to worry about it anymore. I'm going to be restored. My mind will be restored. I think I want that more than my body, really, to be as it should be. So we see this language. He'll come and save you. And then more restoration. The blind, the eyes will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. How wonderful. Think about it. The lame man shall leap like a deer. The tongue of the mute shall sing for joy. How wonderful is it going to be? You think about this idea of restoration. Someone who's born blind. Think about that. Someone who's born blind. And then they bow their knee to Christ. And that day they breathe their last. And they're going to see. And maybe the first thing they will ever see ever will be Jesus. I almost envy that. And it goes beyond, in Isaiah, he goes beyond just the people of God. Water shall break forth in the wilderness, streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rivers. This earth, what we see around us, is going to be restored as it should be. And the redeemed will sing. We'll sing with joy. No more sorrow. No more sighing. Psalm 146 continued that pictures of restoration as we looked at that. It started out with a proclaiming of the Creator, acknowledging that the God who made all of this, and in verse 2 says, who keeps faith forever, that God is going to restore what he made. When he made it, he said, this is good. And when sin came in and broke it, he said, I am the faithful Creator. And then look at the list he gives. Execute justice for the oppressed, food for the hungry, sets the prisoners free, opens the eyes of the blind, lifts up those who are bowed down, loves the righteous, watches over the sojourner, upholds the widow and the fatherless, restoring, making things that are wrong right. It's not right that there are orphans and people that have lost their parents. It's not right for widows to suffer. It's not right for people to be hungry. There will be restoration in that day, and the wicked will be put down. As I look at those categories, we try to make that connection. As we look around our world, we see these things, and yes, we do. We see them all too much, far too much in this world of suffering. And so what we have here, as we're saying, go tell to the mountain, we have something to say. There's restoration available if you will seek it. And then our gospel reading, which I have lost. Oops, where'd it go? There it is. Sorry. Jesus has an interesting interchange by proxy to John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist is a prophet, like Isaiah. God has revealed things to him, made him a mouthpiece. And not only any old prophet, but the prophet that was spoken of who will be the one declaring the coming, that first advent. And it was interesting to me that John was seemingly having some doubts here, wondering, are you the one? And look how Jesus responded. Tell him this. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news. Restoration. The kingdom of God is restoring things as they should be. The things that are broken are being put together again. The things that are marred, that are worn, are not as they should be, are not showing the beauty that was intended. God is making new. He's restoring things. The kingdom of God is restoring. The kingdom of God is here now. Jesus broke through, parted it, said, let it happen now. Now things are going to start being made right. They will begin to be made right. And there we have that tension we live in, don't we? Because even as Jesus answers the coming, this restoration, 2,000 some years later, we are in that in between of already not yet. And then as we think of Advent and we look forward to that second Advent, we can pray and seek, even as Isaiah did, of longing, longing for that restoration. Jesus gave us the foretaste, the beginnings. This is how it can be. This is how it will be. The kingdom of God is here. Even as we wait, we listen, and we seek that time of the second Advent. So again, as we seem to be always going, we wait. We wait. Our time here now is waiting, 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 and waiting. And I am not a good waiter. I never have been. I don't like waiting. If it's available now, I want it now. And our reading from James speaks directly to that waiting, doesn't it? Be patient. Ugh! Come on. Until the coming of the Lord. That is the second Advent. That's what we're thinking about now, right? Be patient until the coming of the Lord. So how do we wait? One, we wait patiently. Patiently. And it's great. He gives the example of a farmer. That's perfect, isn't it? Because it shows one activity on our part, right? The farmer does not just go, grow corn, do it, go. No. You get out there, you plow the land, you restore, don't you, as a farmer? That is part of God's mandate to us from even creation. He gave Adam and Eve, he said, work this land, make it as it should be. I give it to you. And so the picture of a farmer is perfect for that. We take this land that is not producing, and we say, and we plow it, and we fertilize it, and we put the seeds in, and then you wait. Because there comes a point where we don't do anything else, do we? At the end of the day, no matter how much labor we put into the planting, it is God who grows and brings the rains that it needs and the sun that it needs. And we have to trust him. And we have to wait patiently. So we wait patiently. We establish our hearts. What does that mean? As we're waiting, to establish our hearts. Well, it is making sure that we are ready. Even as we plant and fertilize the field, we fertilize and plant and plow our hearts. Pull out the weeds. Establish your hearts. Be ready for when Jesus comes. Because we don't know. We don't know. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Tomorrow, next week, next year, 100 years, another 1,000 years. We don't know. But over and over and over, God's word shows us and tells us and reminds us to be ready. Be ready as it's tomorrow. Oil your lamps. Make sure your house is in order. Be sure. Be ready for it. And then in that waiting, he says, take the example of the prophets. And I love that picture because they didn't see it. They expected, they anticipated it. They proclaimed it as it was, and they never saw it. And then we have another great example in John, as we just read, isn't it? That example that even him still needed some assurance. And Jesus gave it. And it's okay. It's okay. We may wonder sometimes. It is frustrating to read the newspaper in our world that information just flies. And here's in a second, I think we know too much sometimes. I think we're aware sometimes of too much pain, too much suffering. And it overwhelms us. And we go, Lord, what is going on? Are you coming or not? And we wait patiently. We wait patiently. And in that establish our hearts, we begin acts of restoration ourselves.
That we are part of that coming. That already not yet, we, in God's working somehow, we can become restorers. And we can stake out territory, even here and now, in anticipation, in understanding that may not be already, but is coming, and I can live in a way today that is restoring. It says in James, don't grumble against one another. So we restore relationships with each other. We maintain those. We make sure that things don't get blocked off. The brokenness in this world, we can maintain and restore. We see a problem. We see the poor. We see the hungry. We see the suffering. Because God is restored, because Jesus is coming to restore, we can restore even today and make those things right that we can. And maybe even the land that we, I find it fascinating. I think Christians are should be the staunchest environmentalists in the world. We are called to care for this earth and this land. And it's wonderful. It's beautiful when we see things that are made wrong, when you know industry has polluted a river and we clean it up and it's clean again. It's amazing. I mentioned here before, I'm sure, but I'm just fascinated with stories like when they reintroduced wolves into Yellowstone. You know, they killed them all off in the early 1900s. And in the years that followed, that land, that beautiful Yellowstone Park was deteriorating. Elk were overpopulating. They were down by the rivers and eating all the grasses. And so there was erosion and the waters became muddy. They didn't meander as they should. The temperatures rose. The trout died. The trees were not growing as they should. And they put some packs of wolves in there. And it's amazing because immediately, things changed. All of a sudden, those elk couldn't just stand out in the open and not worry about anything anymore. And because of that, the grasses around the rivers grew up and were solidified. Those banks were made more solid as they should be. And the waters cleared. And they meandered the way they should and provided cover for the trout. And the other animals were able to come in, birds, and it's incredible. That's restoration. That's something that we can be part of even now and being restored in this place, of showing our neighbors and our community the mercies of God and standing up for what is right and making things that have been wronged, working to make them right. That is the job of restore, as we wait patiently, as we expectantly look forward to the hope that Christ gives us. We be our restorers. Even as he has restored us and is restoring us. Already not yet, right? He's restored us, he's restoring us. And we can work to those ends. The good news that we have is that in the hope of restoration, as Jesus told John the Baptist what was going on, blind and lepers and all these things, that same Jesus gave us the means to enter into that restoration. That is the good news. That child grew, became a man, perfect, showed us restoration, and then died for us and rose again so that we can enter into that restoration with him. We can enter, and that is the good news. I look forward to that day when we are fully restored. But until then, together, we establish our hearts, we look in. If there be any wicked way in me, Lord, root it out. That picture of a farmer again. Oh, Lord, take your plow to my fallow ground. Take it, Lord, and make my heart productive for you in your glory. I pray for us in this time of Advent to think of restoration in our own hearts. And if God is shining a light somewhere in some land that needs some thorns rooted out, then make it so. And then look to this world and see where it is that we can step in with God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, to restore and look forward to the restoration that Christ gives us.